I want to continue with, I want to have a continuation of last week's message in regards to getting to the other side. And I want to make a statement off the front here and communicate is there is always a destination in Christ, isn't there? Always. Holy Spirit leads us to a destination. How many of you have a destination and you're looking to get to the other side of something? Come on. Is there anything in your life that comes in the form of trouble, comes in the form of difficulty, comes in the form of adversity that opposes or attempts to hinder you from getting to the other side of a thing? You could respond to that. If some of you who don't have any trouble, I want to move in with you. Trouble just seems to be part of life at times, doesn't it? It shouldn't be shocking to us. And I believe in this message here, there's some golden lessons, some nuggets for us to withdraw from, some nuggets to receive from this message if we can get a hold of this here. So starting again with Matthew 14, I'm just going to read a couple of verses here, 22 through 24. And it says this: immediately He made the disciples get into the boat. That's pretty key here, so remember that. And go ahead of Him to the other side. And while He sent the crowds away, right, after that He sent the crowds away, He went up to a mountain by Himself to pray. And when it was evening time, He was there alone. But the boat that the disciples were in was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. For the wind was opposite them, opposing the direction they were going in. Sighting this thing in a little bit, getting kind of a focus, sighting this thing in. We are aware of it every year that we hear of storms, don't we? Literal storms in the United States and around the world. There's storms, devastating storms that can destroy communities, destroy houses, destroy buildings and businesses, and life gets just turned upside down through storms. In the Bible, storms are, there's a variety of storms that teach us lessons, like Genesis 6 through 8. The lesson that we get from Noah building an ark. There's a massive storm that teaches us about redemption and the judgment that comes upon sin. In the book of Jonah, it starts out on a ship in a storm. Significant storm stirs up. And when there's a storm present, it makes things real, doesn't it? You get real when a storm comes. You get absolutely down to brass tacks. You find out what you're actually standing on, and anything that's of lesser value in a storm, you pitch it over the boat. Get this out, right? Because we want to get to the other side through this situation and this storm. Note this, that God uses storms to adjust our viewpoint. He uses storms to adjust our viewpoint and to straighten out our mission so that we can hit the destination. Let me say that again. God uses storms to adjust us. He uses storms to work things out of us, not to destroy us. That's never, ever His intent. But it's to straighten things out. There's a man, I don't know his name. He's referred to as the low-down, double-crossing pastor. Sounds pretty rough. He celebrates that name. And many others do. Why it is, the Sea of Galilee is the lowest, one of the lowest places. It's 600-foot elevation. It's pretty low. This man, 65 years old, shows up at the Sea of Galilee and makes his second trek across the Sea of Galilee swimming. So it's like 12 miles by 8 miles. So the first time around, he comes 15 years before, 50 years old. He swims the lengthwise across the Sea of Galilee. That's 24 miles approximately. And then he comes back a number of years later when he's 65 years old and swims the shorter distance across. So he's the low down, 600-foot elevation, double-crossing pastor. I didn't do it. He did. That's pretty clever. But it, as I was looking at that, you find that he makes this statement. Swimmers have a really difficult time keeping a straight line while they're swimming in open waters. Most swimmers can't swim in a straight line. They just get off. And some of you who are swimmers, I see you nodding your head. You understand that principle. So, of course, with this man, there's boats and people navigating. He's got a GPS. He's on course. But for you and I, how does that apply? What does that mean? It's going through life. Sometimes it's difficult. We get off. We start getting moved from here to here. And Jesus comes to adjust our viewpoint and straighten out our mission so we can hit the destination. And even without having a few extra miles involved. This guy states that. It turns into, the 24 miles turns into about 26 miles because he's kind of doing this a little bit. It's longer than a straight line. God wants to adjust us. There's another illustration in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 7 that Jesus spoke about. And he says this in 7:24 and 25, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them can be compared to a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on a rock." Founded on a rock. If you're in Christ, you're founded on a rock, regardless of how you feel. Feelings are just indicators to often things that might be a little true, but mostly they're not. If you're founded on a rock and you're in Christ, there's security in that. But note that what he says, the ingredients of survival, the ingredients of being able to have a house that stands requires two things in that, right? Both listening and doing. It takes two of both of those in order to make it through the storm. So what I want to communicate to you today, and there's some practical things to understand when you find yourself in a storm and you find yourself in a struggle, you find yourself in some adversity. There are some practical things that we can draw from Matthew 14, Mark 6, and John 6, and these stories that can reveal to us what should we be doing when things seem to be falling apart and I can't see the finish line. I want you to know this. Just because you can't see the destination, it doesn't mean his sight is hindered. Just because you have a difficult time seeing because of the flood of issues, circumstances, the plan that doesn't make sense to you and all of that stuff, just because you have a limitation on what you or I might be seeing, it doesn't communicate and should never communicate that God has a difficult time seeing you at the destination. Does that make sense? We're going to the other side. So, here it is. Probably not as forcefully as Jesus did, but get in the boat. That'll hurt. Yeah. Get in the boat. Immediately, they were told to get in the boat. To get in the boat. There's some practical things to learn. Practical things to get a hold of. Matthew 14:22, this story I'm reading, is one of two episodes in the scriptures that speak of Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. One of two episodes. In one of the episodes, he's in the boat with the disciples. The tempest comes and begins to slam and batter the boat, and he quiets the storm, rebukes the disciples, and calls them to a higher level of faith and expansion, and then he calms the storm, right? This story, a little bit different. In Matthew 14, the second episode of when Jesus is on the Sea of Galilee, he sends them out in the storm. He sends them out in a boat ride, and he doesn't start out with them. They start out alone, and he comes a bit later. But what this illustration speaks of is being on the water is compared to being in life. See, in Scripture, a mountaintop speaks of the glory of God, the high place of God. And the earth speaks of those things that are just natural to us. The water and the sea usually speaks of the place of struggle, the place of adversity, the place of life that we all must go through. So those two things are present. The second episode of Jesus speaking and communicating to us, we see that storms, the scriptures and storms in life, sometimes they bring a blessing in terms of all kinds of needed rain. When, like here in Arizona, when it's a drought, when a storm comes, a monsoon comes or something, usually comes with a gusher of rain, and we need it. We might have to endure some downed trees or some trouble or some flooded back patios or washes that are overflown, but we need the rain, right? And other times storms come and they're just simply and directly an assault from the devil. Like in Job chapter 1, verse 19, a tornado was sent, claiming, communicating that the devil was allowed to send a tornado to Job's house, and it destroyed the house and people died. But that was Satan directly. The devil was responsible specifically for that storm. So storms have, they're similar to problems in our life in that they're shapes. They come in different shapes and sizes. All storms do. They're different for all of us. They're different kinds of pressures, different kinds of struggles, different kinds of things. And the other thing that is compared to storms and problems in our life is that they're unpredictable. We usually think that, oh no, not now. This is not the time. No. I don't want to do this. But Lord, I don't want to go now. There's so many other struggles. God, I can't do this right now. Things are falling apart. Parts are literally falling off my body. Go, get in the boat. 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 Immediately, get in the boat. See, the boat is the place of safety. The boat is the place of security. The boat is where Jesus is at or going to be at. It's the will of God. It's the place where God uses to get us to the destination. It's that spot in our lives. In Matthew, Mark, and John, it tells us this story from three different angles. We're able to see this perspective and looking at this story from different points of view, which is really awesome when you begin to study that and extract. Well, he said that, and he says this, and he sees it from this side. But when you look at it all and extrapolate it all and begin to look at it and pull things apart, what you find in common is this one concept and this one idea is contrary. The wind was contrary to them. This theme of contrary, it's the word ethnantios, which means contrary. Ethnantios. That's the place where we get stuck in life. We're headed into a destination, and then things begin to come against us. See, note this. There's a gold vein. There's a golden lesson for us to learn in this spot right here, because struggles happen to all of us. Difficulties are going to come. Difficulties are going to land on all of us, and it doesn't mean you're without faith. What it does mean is that we have an opportunity and a request and a command by Jesus to increase our faith. It doesn't mean you're a failure. It just means that God needs to work some things out in your nature. And he's not interested in sinking your boat. He wants to move you along and get you to the other side. And he's wanting to call us to have an expansion of faith in the midst of difficulty. Does that make sense to you? God's calling us through these storms. But this common thing is this idea of contrary, where we get stuck. We have a goal. We have a destination. And hindrances come. They come in the form of people. They come in the form of circumstances. They come in the form of finances. They come in the form of all kinds of different things, health issues. And they come in the form of wind and attempt to keep us from our destination. These guys spent 8 hours straining, the Bible says in Mark 6, chapter verse 48. It says Jesus saw them straining. They spent 8 hours straining, pulling, what should have took them about 3 hours to get the distance of approximately 4 miles. Should have took them 3 hours. They should have been able to row at a pace of 3 to 4 miles per hour. But instead, they're rowing at a pace of a half of a mile an hour. A half of a mile an hour. And it took them the distance is 8 miles or so, and they traveled 3 to 4 miles, and it took them 8 hours to get 3 or 4 miles because they were traveling at half of a mile an hour. These guys were experienced seamen, but they were having difficulty crossing and in trouble getting through this thing. They were in the middle of a storm, and I want to give you this as we move through this. I want to give you these points here. When you find yourself stuck in a storm with the destination in mind, I want you to consider some practical things, some key things in practical application of what to do when you're in a struggle, what to do when you're in adversity, what to do when you're stuck in a storm. The first thought is this, is that know this, that God's got a plan in all of this. He didn't come to sink your boat, but rather settle some issues in your nature, in the nature of your soul. He wants to settle some issues, not sink your boat. It's important that we know that. It's important that we understand that, because we get so wrapped up in the adversity, and all we can see is the adversity, the difficulty, but it just simply means that we're stuck. And know this, that God's got a plan for your life. He said, get in the boat and go. Immediately. I'm confident that Jesus wasn't surprised by that whole thing. The second thing I want you to consider and I want you to know is this. Just because you're struggling, it doesn't mean you're outside of God's care. And it doesn't mean you're outside of God's vision. He sees you. He knows you. He knows where you're at. He knows where you're at. But sometimes it takes a bit for us to get to that spot where we welcome him into the boat. The third thing in point I want to communicate is this. Jesus comes in the darkest hour. He shows up. He does. His timing is always perfect. Note, his timing is always perfect. Did you get that? Wait, key word is his. His timing is perfect. It really is. We might not agree at times, but if we just relinquish to know that his timing's perfect, he's going to come. He's going to come. He's going to be present. He's going to be present and make himself known to us. He made them get into the boat. In verse 22, immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. While he sent the crowds away. This was his idea. Anakazo is the word made them. The idea of he made them get into the boat. Anakazo. It means forcefully. He forced them. He put a demand and a command on them to get in the boat. That word is is intentional in the scripture. It's important to understand that. We just got to get this thing resolved that it's his idea. He's got a plan for us at times to walk through and go through adversity because he wants to work some things out in us. He has no intention of sinking us, but he wants to work some stuff out in us. And we've got to trust that he's got that plan going and it's okay. A little brief example. My daughter and I have been working on some training, some fitness training. And I'm teaching her how to lift weights and get stronger. And there are times to where it's fairly new, just this whole process of learning to lift. There's some skill in it. There's some attitude and some mindset that you got to get over and get through to figure it out. And at times I'm above her and I'm coaching her. Come on, like do a flat bench or do military press or something. And I'm encouraging her to go. And what I'll see is we get playful sometimes when I'm not intense and a jerk. We'll get playful, and that's getting better. But I'll begin to help her, and she's doing this, you know, and I'm like, dude, you don't need to use your quads to do military press. We're using these muscles here, not those muscles. When we get under a load, we're in survival mode, man. I need toe strength to lift this up right here. I need something. And then the words, I can't. I can't. I can't do it. And my response is, you can, because I'm present with you. I don't expect you to lift what you can't lift, but I can lift it with you. We can get it done, and you can lift more than you lifted before. So it's not I can't. It's let's cooperate and do it together. So when Jesus shows up, it's not about I can't. It's about, oh God, get in the boat. Lift it with me. Help me get through this because I can't lift it on my own. I'm straining on horsepower and just manpower, and it's not enough. I can't grind through this thing. I need your presence in that whole thing. We must have him in the boat to get through to the other side. But we need to resolve the fact that he is aware of what's about to happen. There's a plan in this. It wasn't a surprise to him. God didn't design the storm, but he assigned you to participate in it. He didn't necessarily design the storm to jack with you. Jesus went up to the top of the mountain to pray, likely to get replenished after feeding 5,000 and to get connected with the Father. And it says he was up on a mountain right above the Sea of Galilee. Did you know the Sea of Galilee is the same shape, the same size, the same mileage and everything as Lake Tahoe? Yeah, look it up. It's literally the same type of design. The difference is Lake Tahoe is at 6,000 feet and the Sea of Galilee is at 600 feet. Pretty incredible. But it says Jesus was on a high place and likely he was looking across when it says he saw them straining. He was looking across and is aware of what's happening. And he wasn't surprised that the winds came. He wasn't surprised at all. But the whole chapter, if you look at Matthew chapter 14, the whole chapter, it has two bookends. It's got the feeding of the 5,000 at the front end, and it's got them landing in Bethsaida, and it says everybody who touched him got made whole, got healed. Everyone got healed after he gets to the other side. So this story is encapsulated. It's got two bookends of the supernatural and the miraculous struggle. Supernatural and the miraculous. Why do you think he did that? Why do you think Jesus would do that? I think the first thing and a primary thing is this, is to keep it real. The storm always keeps it real for us. Keep it real. You participate in feeding 5,000. It's easy. Go, wow, this is awesome. It's going to happen like this every Sunday. This is profound. And then you go, well, what happened to everybody? You know, summer came and everybody went on vacation. All the chickens left the coop. What's going on? It's reality. The Lord wants us to teach us to be able to walk through. He wants to work some things out in us so we can get to the destination. But he's not looking to sink us in the midst of the storm. He's not looking for us to lose and sink us. The second thing is this. We might be stressed by the struggle, but we're not outside of God's love and care. Mark 6:48, it says this. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by. So I don't know exactly if that he's seeing them, if he's aware of it in the spirit, or he can literally see because the night was clear and it was just winds. It doesn't say that there was a storm. It just says that there was winds. So it's possible that Jesus can see either way, whether it's literal ability to see them out on the boat a distance or whether he sees by the spirit. The thing is this, he sees you in your struggle. And just because you're struggling, you can't ever come to the conclusion that he's not aware of where you're at. He's not aware of what you need. He's not aware of your situation, and he doesn't want to come to your aid and to care for you. He does. He's a good father, and he's got a plan for your life. And the struggle doesn't determine you not getting to the destination. If you stay in the boat, invite him in, you'll immediately be at your destination. He is the destination. Christ is the destination. Jesus Christ is the destination. He is the destination. He was aware of their struggle. Consider this. The word basanizo. He saw them straining at the oar, straining half a mile an hour over the course of 8 hours. Man, that's a task. He sees them doing that. And that word basanizo, it means to be utterly tormented. Tormented in your mind. Tormented in your body. There's pain. Tormented in your emotions. You're just done, man. You're ready to quit. You don't got anywhere to go. Things are falling apart and you're tired. You don't have the way on. And Jesus sees you, is aware of you. It's about 4 a.m. You've been at this all night. I want you to know God's coming. Come on. I want you to know he's coming. He's coming. Get in the boat. I know you don't want to. There could be a variety of reasons why they didn't want to. Get in the boat. He sees you. Basanizo. Basanizo can be described as torment from being in a legal battle, like you're having to represent yourself in court and you're being battered by the other side. Just mental, having to be so technical about things and all of that. The consternation that comes to us in the middle of all of that stuff. It could have to do with medical. Your body, there's something gone wrong and you can't figure it out. And it just lingers for way too long, it seems. And you're just going mad because of the difficulty. You know you're not going to die. If you did, that would bring relief. But the thing is, you're struggling with the medical issues and the pain of this whole thing. And that's what causes this basanizo. It's difficult. It's painful. It's tormenting. And it requires us to hang on to the bitter end. The third one is circumstantial. This word basanizo describes circumstantial. That you're surrounded and you're in an environment that you just don't have vision for. You don't believe it. You don't want to be there. You're at work and you're surrounded by knuckleheads that are talking about things you don't want to hear. But that's where your income comes from. That's where you're at. You're struggling in your environment. You had vision for something else. You saw yourself somewhere else. And you're just struggling with the circumstances around you. Basanizo, tormented. Tormented, or simply the devil has gotten in. Whispers. Lies. Wakes you up in the morning. Lies to you. You're at a weak spot. It's the fourth hour. And he slips in.
We don't want to believe the lies. We hear and we take action. Get in the boat. See, the boat is a place of preservation. The boat is the place of care. The boat is the place where we need to be. Even though we struggle, we're not outside of His care. Even though we have difficulty, we're not outside of His care. You're not rejected. We're not abandoned because we struggle. There's a golden lesson in this whole thing. We get in the boat. Stay in the boat. Jesus sees us. He comes to us. He's got a plan. Some things to consider when you're in the storm is that He has a plan. You're going to get to the other side. And so, He wants to prepare us to deal with the hindrances that are around us. That's what He's doing. He wants to be able to prepare us when we're in the middle of difficulty, when we're in the middle of the struggle. It's the preparation is what He's after. So we can walk through and walk in liberty and know what to do when hindrances come, that we're not shocked by it. Second thing to consider is however great of a struggle it is, we're never outside of His care. He sees us. And His presence in our boat is the solution. His presence in our boat is the solution. We must be willing to receive Him. Consider this. In John 6:21, it says this. So they were willing to receive Him into the boat. They were willing to receive Him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. They were willing to receive Him in the midst of the boat, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of their fear, trying to navigate. Is that a ghost or not? What's going on here? We've been at this. We're in Bassanizo. We're in so much torment going on right here. They're willing to receive Him in the midst of that. In the fourth hour, He comes. In the darkest place of the night, He comes. And they're willing to receive Him. And then it says, immediately they were at the destination. So immediately they were translated, or Jesus simply is the destination. Either way, you're getting to the other side. When Jesus is in the boat, you're at your destination. I don't care where this thing goes. I'll strain the rest of my life. He's in the boat. Get Him in the boat. Are you willing to have Him in the boat? You want Him in the boat. So when we're facing storms, struggles, adversity, when we can't see the finish line, when we can't see the end, the destination, consider this. There's a lady by the name of Marla Runyon, 31 years old. She ran the 1500 meter race in the Olympics, representing the U.S. And she was in Australia competing, and she took gold. But the thing about Myra is that this Myra was near blind. She had macular degeneration. She couldn't see, but just shapes, some colors, and she can sense when people were around her. She ran in the Paralympics, and then in 2000, she ran in the full Olympics. And she ran, she won, she took gold. Reporter approached her and says, how do you do it? How do you run when you can't see? And she says, when I come around the bend, and I know that the finish line is out there somewhere, and I can't see it, I don't care. I don't slow down. I keep running anyways. I just keep pressing in and keep enduring because my destination is in the run. And I know that Christ is with me and I just keep running. So the message and the lesson for you and I is when we can't see, when the storm's coming and you don't know how far it is and where to go, all you do is you hunker down and you keep rolling. You keep pressing in to where God's called you to go. And you let Him in when you see Him. When He shows up, you let Him in the boat. We can stand if you could, Martin. I want to ask you a few questions for consideration as we head towards ministry and some worship here. Consider these questions. Do you need a faith
impartation to get to the other side of something. Are you here today and you need a faith impartation to get to the other side of something? Do you have areas of doubt and fear that you want to let go of today? And the third and final is, are you willing to receive Him fully into your situation? You're going to worship here for just a little bit. You can say yes to any one of those questions, or you'd simply just like to come forward. You make your way up.